Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 791, The Return episode. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by Ben Funky Askren and the director of operations at West Virginia University. Not the whole university. So far, he's just got the wrestling team. Eventually, he'll just be running the entire school. Kyle Brackey is back. KB, what is going on?
What's up, guys? It's great to be back. I'm a little disappointed JD's not here. A lesser man might call him a coward. I won't, but I just think that some people might call him a coward.
And that's what we're most worried about, is JD being called a coward for the entirety of the show for not making the walk for Kyle's return. And you could say, yes. Okay, he did send me a text. And we were having a conversation before the show, you know, about the used to be when you had work, you had to actually call out for work. Now, oh, let me just fire off a text message to the boss and everything's good. And you could just say, you could say anything in that text message. And you know what JD said? It maps to some typical symptoms from someone returning from Mexico. Okay. So that all checks out. But is that not just all too convenient that is so on the nose? And that's where we find ourselves. So Brackey suggested that someone runs it down and sees to it that JD is actually as ill as he claims to be.
I'm gonna run it by Flynn, see if he cares if I just make a quick trip to Austin. See if I can run this down real quick.
Yeah. Check in with Flynn. So this is a good time for your appearance. And I don't know, is the pressure from the mounting Capture Britney movement what made you feel like you needed to come back and say something back? Because, you know, as she got freed, it was kind of your moment in the sun. And now that she's out of captivity, there's a lot of people saying maybe the Spears family was onto something by locking up Britney.
So it definitely...
I'm glad this is what we're starting with, guys.
First of all, that's not true. But the movement to try to put her back under lock and key did play a factor in it. I know you guys asked me a few times during the year, and I just kind of wanted to get a year under my belt and before I came on here and opened my big mouth again. But then, so I felt like enough time had passed and we were through the first year pretty much. And I needed to talk about Britney. And, you know, if you don't mind, I'll just go right into it.
Let's just go.
You know, a lot of people, and it's funny, maybe like with college is the best example of this, you know, when they've been maybe under a strict parent or, you know, a strict household, you know, when they go to college and they get some freedom, they may have a little rebellion period, you know, mm-hmm, or go a little crazy, act out a little bit. And, you know, for someone that was under lock and key the way that she was for so long, this can only be expected to have a little outburst, you know, a rebellion period. So I'm not concerned at all, at all.
At all, okay? Not remotely.
I thought, and you know, the other thing is I thought this was America. I thought you could post, do, and say whatever you please. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some people in other professions that post pictures like that, and people like them very much. Yeah. And they're very True. Famous, and they're even revered. So why is it when she even censors those pictures, Are we calling her names? And are we like, why are we doing that? It's not fair, you know. She has every right to do that.
Yeah. Okay. So, Team Britney to the very bitter end, Kyle Brackey.
It could end up being bad. but I'll go down with that ship.
He's going down with the ship. I love it. All right, Bracky, I want to talk about year one at West Virginia University. We had quite a few questions about that first year, but why don't you just kind of give us the how it's been, you know, the move, the transition. It's a pretty different job from what you were doing here at Flow. Just give us the rundown.
I think the year went pretty well. it was definitely a learning experience for me. Obviously, when you was at Flow for 7 years and was pretty comfortable in day-to-day activities, what my role was and everything. So changing that up completely and working with entirely new people was definitely a challenge. And doing stuff that I'd never really done before, you know, like running events, like a golf outing. Like I'd never done anything like that before. So just a lot of moving parts with that. So that it was fun to learn and kind of do stuff on the fly. But you're learning too, just so much that you don't realize goes on with these programs, like with compliance and recruiting and travel and all that stuff. So it was definitely learning. Like I'm still learning stuff. But I thought it was a good first year. Hopefully Flynn thinks so as well.
let's ask him. Let's bring him on. Let's just
I'll go next door and get him. It was cool that the staff is really great and connected with them right away, and it went well.
Has now, you know, we kind of just let you be Bracky when you were here, and you kind of ate whatever you wanted, and it, but now you're around a bunch of finely tuned athletic machines. Like Flynn still gets after it. It's very evident.
Oh my god!
Has there been any interventions on your diet?
So on the diet, not so much. Flynn really tries to get me to work out. Like he tries hard.
Yeah.
He hasn't been successful yet, but I am starting to feel it a little bit. He's just like, just work out with me, you know, because he'll, dude's shredded still.
You can't keep up with a 50-year-old man, Bracky. Let's go.
I mean, I can keep up with him, Ben. It's just that I have no desire to. I might not be able to keep up with him now that I think about it. I did play Ultimate Frisbee with him a few weeks ago, the team and all the coaches and stuff. So that was fun. Maybe that will help me get back into it. But the diet, no, diet has not changed. But Flynn and Port both are big Diet Coke guys.
Okay.
So we all go get pops together. So pops with the boys.
Oh my god.
The boys drinking pop.
What a wholesome team. They go drink pop together.
It's Frisbee. So the diets of the staff are unique though, because you know, Flynn eats pretty good. So does Mitchell and Cliff does too. But then Muhammad is Muslim, so everything he eats has to be halal, like, so the way it's processed and all that stuff. And then for a while he was doing a carnivore diet, like just strictly meat. And then last month when he was like, while he was competing at the US Open, it was Ramadan, so he wasn't eating from sun up to sundown, or drinking anything. So
the
diets are kind of a wide variety.
Okay. So not a lot of progress in year one. You know, you should make that one of your year two goals. Because who knows how much more operational efficiency you could find if you were operating at 100%. Now, you often said, you know, in every athletic competition, you know, I'm a freak athlete. You know, that was like a common rate. How do you stack up to the freak athletes of West Virginia University? Now it's a Division I room.
And who is the best athlete of the bunch?
That's a good question. Best athlete of the bunch, Jordan Titus is very, very athletic.
Okay. I can see that.
When they play, they have a game they play in the room before practice a lot called Gator Ball. But essentially trying to get a volleyball into a can jam, like hit the can jam thing or like get it in.
Mm-hmm. And can jam, that's a great game right there.
Very fun.
Yeah, Titus flies all over the place. Alex Hornfeck, our 157-pounder, he's really athletic.
Now you know when you go back to practice day and they listen to this.
Oh, I know. I'm gonna get it.
You're gonna get it, but then you have to set up some type of athletic decathlon so they can prove their worth here. See who the best is.
Yeah, like a combine.
For sure. I like that.
Start measuring like their hands too. Just be like, don't worry about it. Just start doing
hand
all
size.
This. I don't know. He's got small hands.
Three cone shuttle.
Perfect.
What else? You asked me something else before that. Before Ben asked me who the best athlete was. Oh, how do I stack up? When I did ultimate frisbee, I did well. I had a couple touchdowns.
Whoa.
There's definitely freaks. There's definitely freaks on the team. So I don't think I'm number one freak.
Okay, not a certified freak.
Not number one.
Okay. Okay. Some other questions. So we've talked a lot about, you know, transfer portal, NIL, all that stuff. Can you give us because I made the reference to the May 1st date for going in the portal. Mm-hmm. Can you explain like what that is and when they can go on the portal again and all that stuff? Because that's all I knew.
I thought there was no rules. No rules.
No, there is one rule. So May 1st, they have to have the paperwork submitted to compliance. They have to tell compliance, hey, I want to go in the portal. And then there's like a little bit of paperwork they have to do and a video they have to watch now. That's
a video?
Yeah, I think it's just like explaining everything that's going to happen to them if they were to go in.
That's funny.
So they do that, and then compliance has 48 hours to put them in. So as long as there were a few guys that went in after technically went in the portal after May 1, but they got all their stuff done before the May 1 deadline. So they're eligible to be immediately eligible. So if you weren't in by that May 1 deadline, you have to get a waiver. So it's not just a mandatory you have to sit, but you will have to apply for a waiver with the NCAA and provide some reason that they think is acceptable for you leaving after May 1 and being
otherwise
eligible.
When can you re-enter the portal after May 1?
So the portal resets on August 1st. And for wrestling, it's kind of interesting because, you know, it's a two-semester sport. And last year, they had a COVID waiver. So if you did not compete in the first semester and transferred, you could be eligible at your next school the second semester.
Okay.
But that, from my understanding, that was a COVID year thing and won't be the case this year. Now, there were cases of some football players last year entering after August 1, finding a new school within a week or so and playing that season. But they had to apply waiver through the NCAA. So I'm assuming if a wrestler, let's say they get to school in August, clear they don't like it, they're not going to start or whatever.
Yeah.
They go in the portal, they could maybe do the waiver and try to be eligible second semester. So, that May 1 deadline is for fall and winter, and then I believe it's July 1 for spring sports.
Hmm. Gotcha. Okay. And how have you seen NIL change things, if at all, for you guys at West Virginia?
For us, I don't think it has impacted us a ton. The wrestling team. It's definitely impacting our football, basketball teams. Like, we have multiple football players just like pretty openly getting tampered with and poached, like from SEC teams.
What are you going to do about that, Kyle?
Throw them under the bus. Who did it? Alabama, Louisiana State? Which ones?
You can connect those dots if you look at the players and where they went.
I don't watch any football. I don't want dots being connected here.
How many football players do you think Ben could name right now?
Division I college football players?
No, even NFL.
Oh, and Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Here we go.
College football, literally, I don't know if I would get any. Like, I might be zero. The number might be zero.
I think my number might be zero right now for college athletes.
College football. There's got to be someone that I know that wrestles that plays college football.
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone.
What has happened to me? Ben.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
NFL, so let's see. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Tom Brady. You got there's got to be some other like old quarterbacks that still play, right?
Ben Roethlisberger retired.
Roethlisberger, there we go.
He retired.
No, he's done. He's done now.
He's finally done. All right, so Ben knows around too.
I don't know any at all.
So it hasn't impacted our team that much, but I think what you're seeing with everything going on right now is kind of a perfect storm. You know, the transfer portal was put into place because tampering was becoming, there were a couple of reasons. Tampering was becoming an issue and they wanted a way to try to stop that. And so they thought by making this portal and showing you who all was in there and eligible to talk, coaches would wait for them to go in there. Then they would talk to them.
Yeah.
And then the other reason it was kind of put into place was also to help the athletes is they were being restricted. Like they would say they want to transfer and then the coach would be like, okay. And they would give them this list of 35 schools that they wouldn't let them transfer to. Like they would block if they tried to transfer there.
Jeez.
So they wanted to take away like coaches' ability to do that. So the portal, you know, those were two of the biggest reasons why the portal came to be. But now tampering is getting worse because of NIL opportunities.
Yes.
And I hate even calling it NIL.
It's not really.
Because it's pay for play. It's not NIL. I have zero problem with NIL. Want kids to be able to make money. Just don't like the fact that it's causing tampering and like deals are done before kids even go in the portal. Like even if a kid posts like, hey, I'm going in the transfer portal, you're not supposed to be able to talk to them. So you see their name actually in the portal.
Yeah.
But I mean, deals are clearly getting done before they go in. So it's just kind of this perfect storm. Transfer portal, immediate eligibility, and being able to get paid now. So it's just kind of causing craziness. And, you know, I listened to Monday when you guys talked about the new kind of guidelines, but the funny thing about those are those aren't new. Like those were always the guidelines. Boosters have never been able to legally talk to recruits or legally offer them money if they come to their school. Or like when they were at the school, obviously before NIL, they couldn't get paid at all. And collectives can still be a thing. They just can't have those conversations until the athlete is actually on campus and a student athlete at that school.
So you're saying there's no new rules there?
So yeah, they're just saying like, hey, we're going to try to enforce these.
I thought they were new.
And you guys kind of talked about it. A lot of these athletes in the bigger sports, like their agents, I read an article on The Athletic, an agent that represents like 80 college football and basketball players is like, I hope they try to enforce this because I'm going to sue them for antitrust violation.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it's going to work out. These collectives don't seem, and boosters don't seem very threatened by this. I don't blame them that NCAA hasn't done a lot to crack down on things. Kansas just won the national title in basketball with like the highest level of infractions hanging over their head from 5 years ago.
That's like, insane.
So I think people just think the NCAA has no teeth.
No teeth.
Yeah. Well, there's evidence that could be the case. As far as tampering goes, have you guys been able to avoid that with your guys, or if you know you got some pretty tough guys on the team? Anyone come sniffing around?
No, as far as I know, no one has. And I feel really confident that our guys would tell us. I think Peyton would think it was funny. And same with like Killian and Robin, Wolfgram, Titus, like all our NCAA qualifiers are better guys. Yeah, no one's come to us and said anything. And it's not something that I think we would go down quietly if we heard about that happening.
Oh, yeah. Because there is a lot of apprehension about, okay, this this team is tampering with this team, but like you don't ever hear.
I think there's less in they're starting. I feel as though the tide is shifting, Christian, about like, because I know one of the things Tommy Rollins told me on our podcast we did together is, you know, he said he was a coach for a few years. And then after that, he went into the real business world. And he said, you know, if I had done it reverse, I wouldn't have hesitated to tell on all the cheaters. He said, there's people cheating. And I was like, oh, that's my buddy. I don't want to tell on them. And he said, F that. If I would have realized what the real world's like, I just would have told on the dudes that are cheating.
I think there's starting to be less of a stigma around it because, you know, if you like told on somebody before, you were a narc or a snitch or whatever. Yeah. So I think there's less of a stigma
around that. A tattletale.
A tattletale, yeah.
Yeah, there's no tattletales in the Piles house. That's one of our rules. Don't be a tattletale, Natalie.
Yes, I think there's less of a stigma, and I think like people are just pissed. Like how dare you just be so like brazen trying to get this athlete off my roster? Like, what are you doing?
It's crazy, the desperation. Okay. So what else? What was some of the most fun parts of the season for you? You know, you always had a decent travel load when you were here at Flow, but it's kind of a different thing. What was it like, you know, just traveling around the country on doing the Big 12 schedule, et cetera?
It's tough for us, you know, being so far away. We had 2 weeks in a row where we did back-to-back trips to the Dakotas. And
really?
Then Iowa. So we went out to, not like 2 different weeks. So like we wrestled them in consecutive days, but then the next week we turned around and went to Iowa and wrestled the 2 Iowa schools in back-to-back nights. But yeah, the Dakota trip was really tough because, we wrestled South Dakota State at like 7 PM on Friday. And then we wrestled North Dakota State at like 1 PM the next day. And it's a 3-hour drive from Brookings to Fargo. So it was a quick turnaround, making weight twice in less than 24 hours.
Like a weigh-in should count for 24 hours. I mean, like, you know, if it's a Friday, Sunday, probably not. But if we're talking, it's a 7 p.m. and then early the next, count that. Count it.
Yeah. Just have the second team you're wrestling weigh in at that time too, honor system.
Yeah, absolutely.
They do get an extra pound because it was, you know, back-to-back days of competition. So that was a tough one. And then, we got back real late. Cause then we flew out of Fargo that night. We got back to Morgantown real late. And then we turned around the next Thursday and went to Iowa and wrestled Iowa State and UNI in back-to-back nights. That one was at least 24 hours apart, the duels. But the most fun part is like it was at Flow, it was the traveling, you know, and getting to be like build closer relationships with the staff and with the wrestlers. it's cool to see like the work they're putting in like the weight room and the wrestling room, and then see it pay off on the mat, or you know, them realize their dreams. And you know, we kind of had an up and down dual season, but then really had a really nice postseason. 7 guys placed at Big 12. It was our highest finish in Big 12 since the league went to 12 teams. And, you know, we had a Big 12 champ and an All-American for the 3rd year in a row. So really like kind of the ups and downs of the early season, and then seeing it, the team, you know, kind of come together and peak at the right time was really cool. And then also just like being around like Flynn and Cliff and Mitchell, and then getting to know Muhammad this year, but just a staff that's been so successful and have so much experience doing this, like make adjustments as the year went on, like, hey, like we need to do this, or this really isn't working, like we need to make this adjustment. So like just being behind the scenes and listening to like how they approach everything was a really cool experience. And I mean, learned a lot about wrestling and just watching them in practice every day and listening to the conversations they have.
What's some of the surprising, as you got there, and, you know, we're always fascinated in talking about, like, you know, how elite coaches train their athletes, and what is something that you're like, wow, I didn't expect that they would run the room this way or do this, or rest at this time or whatever? Is there anything like that you're like, okay, this is different?
I think for me, like, it was towards the end of the season, just like how much emphasis Flynn put on like recovery, and like kind of like the practices became shorter and it was just like more intense. And I don't know, I think you always, obviously not like the couple days before a big competition, you're not going to be like training guys into the ground, but I think you're always thinking like you want to train really hard leading up the competitions and everything. But you know, as we got closer to Big 12, it was just it was different than what I expected. But it clearly was the right decision and we wrestled really well. So I think that, and you know, I think that was really the biggest thing that stuck out to me. Yeah.
Switching gears, you know, we you know, the three of us, we formed kind of a friendship over the FRL years. You know, we stay in touch. But I hear that Ben only calls you so you can help him find his tweets. Is this true, Ben?
The man's an expert. I needed help.
Now, Ben, listen, if we show you
like
this thing.
It was like two or three times throughout the year.
Three times? No, I only remember once. When? Which other time?
It was at least twice. It was at least
okay.
twice.
I mean, I don't.
One time you were looking for some exchange you had with Ariel Helwani.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. Remember that.
And then there was another time, man, I can't remember what it was for.
Yeah. I was guilty as charged on that one. I mean, if the man lived in the Midwest, I'd probably see him at wrestling tournaments, but he's all the way out there in the middle of nowhere. We never get to see him.
I know. I was sad. I wasn't a Scuffalonian for the first time in years, and you were. And yeah, that was disappointing. I need to go. Are you guys scuffling last? Is your schedule set?
We're working on it. Majority of dates are, we are still looking for some duels. I think we are going to be Scuffalonians again.
I'm going to go.
Hey, the other complaint I have, Christian, is they're not recruiting any AWA guys.
When I was talking to him yesterday about this, I was like, hey, you guys ever get in the AWA game? So I think they got in place, but I won't speak for Bracken.
You know, we tried to get in on an AWA guy late last year. It didn't work out. I don't know. I'm not allowed to say.
I'll text you, Ben.
Okay. It was just a little too late in the game. But now Ben's supposed to be – I said when I made this announcement on FRL that Ben is supposed to send us at least one AWA wrestler a year.
You got to call one of them. Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. Yeah, you got to call one of them. We got a few that are still on the board. Give them a call. Our sophomore class is ridiculous. You can start calling them.
Can you?
Yeah.
When can you start calling them?
Oh, not yet. You're right.
June 1. Next
month. Wow. He tried to entrap you there, Brackett. You got to be careful with Ben.
Not June 1.
June 15.
June 15. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, June 15.
How involved are you in the recruiting process, Brackett?
So I actually, there was, speaking with COVID, there was an exception that more than the three, like, eligible coaches could contact wrestlers.
Okay.
So as long as I pass the recruiting test.
What in the Sam hell does that have to do with coronavirus?
That's a great question.
So I think it is a good question. I think it was because kids were doing less visits. They wanted more people from the staff and the university to be able to speak with them and like give them answers and talk to them like they would have if they were on campus and doing business.
Got it.
There was an exception put in place. I believe it goes to like August of this year. And I don't know if it will be re-upped or whatever, but so if I took and passed the recruiting test, I would be able to reach out to kids. So I did that. I've called a few kids. Mainly I'll reach out just kind of to start the conversation and then pass off to one of the coaches. And then they're on campus, help organize what they're going to be doing, and sometimes go around with them and help show around and stuff like that. But that's been another fun learning experience as well, man. It's a crazy game.
yeah, for real. Speaking of, you know, recruiting, you know, the best of the best, AWA, you know, pretty soon you should be calling the 512 Outlaws. You know, I've got an in there. You know, maybe it's some Mountaineer talent. You never know.
They're on our radar.
Okay. That's just good to know. You know, that's a flex, just being on the radar. That's
great.
There you go.
Very cool. Okay. Well, let's keep it moving. We got some more questions to get to. Who put why don't you guys interact with people on social? What does that mean?
I did that because I heard on social media you guys don't even talk to people anymore, like on Facebook and YouTube and all
that.
That's
JD's job, and JD, he slacks on that one.
Every time I ask him to do it, he just runs to the toilet.
that was my bread and butter. I would become friends with people. I would dunk on people. Like that became like part of the show. I'd be like, hey, this person said this, and you gotta get back to your roots.
You were kind of a dunk master. You know, it's hard because I saw that comment, or someone sent a tweet like, hey, does that mean we'll have comments? So then I opened up the Facebook and I greeted the people, and then I realized, I was like, wait, I'm doing the show. I'm having a hard time. I don't know how you did both, but I'm right here. I'm looking at the comments section. I'm just going to type, I'm trying. that's all I can do.
I think it was like, I've been gone like a month or so. Someone tweeted me too, like, they don't say anything in the chat anymore. They don't read any of our comments anymore.
All right. Well, that's
guys should have maybe someone come in. We need a fourth member, and all they do, the only job is to interact with the crowd, and then maybe they alert you, Christian, when there's an interesting post. I sometimes bring it up when probably more majority of the time when someone's making me mad, saying stupid stuff in the chat, and then I try to roast them. But, you know, sometimes there's some good stuff in the chat every once in a while.
Yeah.
They get it right.
Let me see. All right. I'm going to the chat. Okay. Joe Caprino. All right. You ready to dunk on him? Because you better be ready because he's talking about your schedule. You know, he had to go to North Dakota's and then Iowa. He said, sounds like the director of ops should do better with the schedule. Kyle, your response.
Well, so by the time I got here last year, schedule was pretty much already made. And then you also have to, like, one thing a lot of people don't realize and why these, like, come out so late is, like, if you wrestle in an arena that also is home to the women's basketball team, like, they get first priority.
Damn it.
And, like, the Big 12 basketball schedule isn't set until, like, September or something, like really late. So we come up with dates we want, but then they can just like have something going on, and then we got to figure out something else. And then, you know, a lot of gyms too, like sometimes early in the season volleyball might still be going on, or gymnastics, like if they have so you really have to work with like all the other schools when they can do it, what works for their schedule. So Cliff does a lot of our scheduling. I have helped him some this year, but some of that is just unavoidable stuff too.
What's Cliff more like? You know, I know Mitchell a little bit, and everyone knows about Coach Flynn, but I don't know a ton about Cliff.
More people need to know about Cliff. If you don't know Cliff, he was three-time All-American national champ at Iowa. And he was, I think, freshman or sophomore when they shot a season on the mat with Iowa. And I think he's in some of the clips. I need to go back and watch now that, like, I know him and have a relationship with him. But Cliff's awesome. He's still, like, it's in there in scraps all the time. He's quite a character. He's got a boat. Thinks he's, like, a really good handyman.
Thinks? What do you mean by thinks?
Well, he knows a little something about everything. He's one of those guys. Like, and he can probably do everything. He's just not like He's not the best in the world, but he's good. Like, he does a lot of handy stuff around the facility and everything.
Actually ran into you guys in the airport. Now, when we said Cliff Moore, I thought about it. And I did right after conferences in the Dallas airport. But I don't remember where you were. I don't think you were there.
What? You ran into us?
Yeah, I talked to Cliff Moore for like 3 minutes. And then there was a couple of the other dudes running around there somewhere. And I said, where's Brecky? And I don't remember what they said, but I don't think you were there.
He was getting a Coke Dang. At McDonald's.
Yeah, I was probably running around getting something to eat. Dang, I literally had no idea. No one told me that.
No one told you?
No.
Wow.
I think that's what it was after conference weekend. Where did you guys do conference weekend? Did you fly to Dallas?
Yeah, we did. We were in Tulsa. Yeah, we went to Dallas and Dallas to Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Hey, jeez. How was the return to Tulsa?
Much
we
better
had quite
than
the adventure.
Yeah, no, much better than previous experience. I've been pretty outspoken about Tulsa, that I hate it and it's a trash town.
God, I hate it.
You say that, but Detroit. Ooh,
Detroit.
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 I don't, did you guys ever talk about how it just smelled like marijuana 24/7 everywhere you went?
It was marijuana. Just driving.
I mean, it's legal up there, so like, it was just everywhere, and yeah, it's the arena's beautiful.
That was very nice.
It was very nice, much nicer than the Palace Auburn Hills, and much more convenient than the Palace Auburn Hills. Yeah. But hey. Never again.
Kyle, we got a really good comment in the chat right now. Is it true that you only took the match at West Virginia to duck the rematch with Dirk Bauer?
No, it's not true. No, it's not true at all.
Technically, he moved closer to Dirk.
This is true. And if I wanted to train more, like what other job could I take that would be more perfect?
There you go.
That's a good point. All right, you start training with Killian. That'll get you ready.
He'll get me ready.
Okay, so Tulsa. I'm sorry, I interrupted Tulsa to be like, "Whoa, Detroit, dude." But now NCAA. So you're gonna be a Tulsa boy a couple times because you got. Yeah. I'm sure conferences are just there forever. It seems like, and then NCAA's in Tulsa.
Yep.
Next year. Yeah, we're Tulsa boys. I've seriously thought like, should we even leave?
I was wondering
next year. Oh, next year.
Yeah, like next, like I. What is it like 10 days? That's probably too long.
Is it even?
And they do
have travel day and the travel day, it's only going to be like 7 or 8.
Yeah,
because you'll come back on a Tuesday probably, and you'll probably leave on a Monday.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, they do have school and they are student athletes. I think the way things are moving online more and more, maybe that's something they'd be able to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. We probably need to look at how expensive it would be to stay out there.
Very large Airbnb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you would just need to keep, like, obviously we'd want all 10 guys there, but if some guys didn't qualify, you could.
If you don't qualify, walk home.
No.
Yeah, that's it. Wow. Take the bus. You don't make it to NCAAs. Get your ass on the Greyhound.
the shoe leather express, as Nomad once called it.
Yeah.
Dang. So yeah, if you don't place for Ben at a big tournament, he just has you walk.
One time, have I ever told you that story?
No, I don't think so.
Never about making the kid walk home.
Maybe. Go ahead. Okay, and tell
it was Josh Otto. He's at Wisconsin, and. He was getting rolled up at UW Cadets 1 year, and it was all he was shooting a headside single, and he was getting dumped. And he got dumped 4 times in a row. It was 8-0. I think I did tell you this, right?
Yes, you did.
And at period break, I said,
another headside single.
Josh, I don't care what you do. If you shoot another headside single, you're freaking walking home. I don't care. I don't care if you lose. I don't care if you get pinned. If you shoot a headside single, you're going to freaking walk home. Shoots a headside single, gets dumped to his back 10-0. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I got to make him walk home now because I'm a man of my word. I can't freaking – listen, I told him he had to walk home. It's pretty simple. Don't shoot head inside single. Pretty simple instructions here. The man shot head inside single. he freaking found a different parent to take him home. Thank God. Cause I was like, I gotta be a man of my word. I can't go back on my word. So, but he knew I was going to be a man of my word. And he went and found someone else to give him a ride home.
Why'd he shoot a head inside single?
Josh Otto was about the most stubborn son of a bitch I ever dealt with in my life. He knows it too. He's trying to listen to this and go, yeah, he's right.
Oh my gosh. That's really funny. Thank you, Josh. Someone said, what's with the Detroit hating? Man, you think you know a show than this, said Paul Youngs. But then Michael said, I saw no hating. They said everything good about that city. So I can only assume that Michael enjoys marijuana cigarettes.
Yeah, we're the only people in America that hate on Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit's such a crap
hole. We're the only people.
Oh, yeah, man. You know the scary thing about driving and then smelling weed is you know it's because there's cars in front of you that are just blazing up while they're driving.
Listen, all right, here's a funny story. So they gave, NCAA gives all the guys that qualified like gift cards to, it was to Meijer, I think, the grocery store. It's like $30 gift cards.
So really? We're like, wait, yeah, Kyle, that is the exact gift that we got in 2007.
So the NCAA doesn't account for inflation at all?
No, must not. I mean, a $30 gift card to Meijer. That's exactly what we got in 2007. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so they got a gift card to Meijer, and, you know, we had to get groceries anyways. We're like, well, we'll go to Meijer, and they can use that and whatever, and we'll get our usual groceries for them and everything. So we go, and as we're – but the closest one was, like, 8 miles away from the arena. So as we're driving there, we are just not in a good part, clearly. And I'm, like – I'm sitting – we drove to Detroit. So we had a couple of rental cars and Mitchell was driving and I was like, yo, this has us getting off on the 8 mile exit, like Eminem's 8 mile exit. And so we get off the exit and we're just like clearly not in a good part. And Peyton looked it up and we were like a mile away from Eminem's like trailer park where he grew up.
Dang.
And then like, all of a sudden, there was just, like, this nice shopping center with a Meijer, but it was so weird. It was in, like, a terrible part, and we were very close to the original 8 Mile, where it all started.
The house that Marshall Mathers built.
Yeah.
Original.
Good old 8 Mile. All right. We'll keep it moving here. Can you pull in this video from Barstool, Tyler? I want Kyle to watch this if he hasn't seen it yet. People in Florida. It's kind of interesting because I have a. We'll watch this video and then I want you guys to answer this question. So essentially, there was a lady having a medical episode. If you're watching, and this car is going like 2 miles an hour through an intersection, and people are getting out and trying to stop it because the lady's like passed out or something, and so all these people are rushing and running to the car, and they get in front of it and they actually stop it in the middle of the intersection. And then I need you to watch this guy in the white shirt because he goes,
the best part.
Boom. He punched. So pause it for a second. This dude comes up in the white shirt and he is going to get this lady out. And he goes, boom. And he punches it with his might. And he does not break the window to get this lady out. So then he walks away. So my question is simple. If you guys had one punch, could you punch through a door window of a car?
I think if I'm trying to smash it, I'm going to do like a back elbow, like, yeah, you know, something like that. That's what I think I'm using.
Yeah.
I don't think I could. They seem very strong.
And your hand is way more fragile. There's a lot more bones in there to break than like if you use an elbow or maybe a nice front, a Michael Chandler style front kick to the window might be a good option.
Yeah, they eventually got like something blunt to hit it with that wasn't a part of the, you know.
I liked how he like kind of shook his hand after he hit it.
It probably hurt
that
so freaking
dude,
bad.
Dude, that had to hurt bad. That had
especially because he winds up and throws like this.
Were you guys ever like punched the wall? I know, I'm sure you weren't, Ben. I wasn't, but I'm basically just asking Bracky if you were ever the punch the wall guy after a loss.
No. No, I never punched a wall. I mean, I have like thrown things and like had temper tantrums, as you have seen at Flow.
You're a temper tantrum guy?
He's old. When he's I a get, terrible
when
loser.
When I get mad enough, yeah, I'm a terrible loser. I broke the spike ball thing one day.
Yeah.
The net, like, there was this, like, crazy exchange, and I just, like, I had an easy, like, tap on, and I think it was to maybe win the game or, like, extend the game, and I missed it, and I just, I don't know, I kicked it. I just kicked it, and the bar just snapped.
Reflexively. It was, like, it just, it happened, and boom. It wasn't, yeah. like, deliberating. It's, like, straight to it.
Yeah, so I had to buy a new one, so that sucked.
to answer the question everyone's wondering, I also do not think I can punch through the window under any circumstances, but that's the easiest answer I've ever had to give on the show. But it was kind of funny.
We should try it. You guys should buy us a car, and we could just get all the employees out there and see who's the first one to break the window.
Mike Mal would already have a He would know the exact vulnerabilities of the window. He's like, oh, you got to hit it in the corner here, and it just breaks a lot easier. He's got.
Corner seems way harder because you're further. You know, the fulcrum would be the.
I'm just saying he would know some sort of little insight for how do you bash in a car window. Very I think Mike deep. Would appreciate me saying that about him.
That's funny.
So no interest in that. Shout out to that guy for giving it the old. But it was a heroic thing. They helped save this lady. But I thought it was funny, that guy punching the window. Ouch. But yeah, there were a couple Buffalo Gap Bison who resorted to the punching after a loss thing, including a guy in the middle of the state tournament. He lost a match, then he punched a wall and broke his hand.
Well, there's rumors of someone else in the 2021 tournament doing that also.
Yes, I heard about that. I was told that was totally untrue. Who knows?
Okay.
But it was definitely true in the instance of our 30 pounder at the state tournament, and he broke his hand. He broke his hand, but he wrestled the tournament and placed with a legitimate broken hand.
Good, because you know one of my good sayings, and you guys can use this. Brack, you might want to use this because you are at West Virginia University. Sometimes in life, you either gotta be smart or you gotta be tough. One and two, you got to pick, right? If you can do some dumb stuff, you got to be tough enough to deal with it, like punch a wall, for example. Mm-hmm. Listen, you punched that wall. I didn't make you punch the wall. Now you got to go wrestle with a broken hand like a dumb, right? So you got to be smart or you got to be tough. And sometimes you got to pick one.
That is funny.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay, so some other things. These are just funny tweets. They're not really – there's nothing for Bracky really to say about it. But Corey Kaczynski asked actually a good question. Was the Free Britney movement a colossal mistake or a Titanic mistake?
It was a success. It was. No one in this country should be – should be locked up like she was, like by
agreed.
She wasn't able to do. She's a grown ass woman. She should be able to do whatever she wants.
Tell her
it wasn't a mistake.
Wow, if it was a mistake, it was the most wonderful one.
Water's gonna find its level, and she's gonna be all right.
That's right. That's right.
That right.
Okay. Spay is also trolling. He says, what are you doing to help the Capture Britney movement? Spay never the one to shy away from putting a little salt in the wound.
Spay can shut up. You know, I saw he ripped his pants again.
He detonated a pair of his pants, his jeans.
Yeah.
With his thunder dunker.
I also love how he, like, you guys live in Austin and it's just hot and warm at all times. And he waited till late May to wear shorts for the first time.
Yeah. Bracky. This is a good question. So, if you don't know, Bracky only wears shorts. Like, basically, it has the conditions that are required for Bracky to wear pants are it's extreme. Or it's a travel day and he'll wear sweats. But basically, if he's coming to work, he's wearing shorts. Has that changed? Has that had to change since you got to West Virginia?
It had to change.
Wow. Did you know that going in?
Yeah, it wasn't anything like required dress code or anything like that. It was because it's freaking cold out in the winter, and we had a pretty brutal winter. And then our office is just freezing constantly.
Oh, really?
They can't. Oh, yeah. It was. Yeah. So you needed the jeans. But shorts weather is officially here. So maybe it was just me being jealous, not being able to wear shorts in January.
Yeah. But if you live in Austin, yes, you can pretty much wear shorts, flip-flops, and a t-shirt year-round. It'll be like 4 days a year where you're like, man, I'm kind of cold in these shorts, flip-flops, and a t-shirt. I should maybe put a slight hoodie on or something.
Racky, the new place is great because it's like a real building, not like whatever this place was. And we're not like freezing or hot at all times. It's like just, you don't even think about the temperature. You just walk around in a t-shirt. It's wonderful.
Hey. Wait, hey, Christian, nice. So are you guys only at the old HQ for the podcasting and media stuff, and then you go over for everything else?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a ghost town over there.
It's now, so Bracky, they took out all the desks, and you know those like little
all the desks are gone?
Gone. It's empty. Bracky, you and I could do foot races in there all day. It's great. But, they took down those white little divider walls. I guess I can say this. It's going to be a competition area.
Event space.
Yeah, we're going to have events here. It's going to be tremendous.
What about all the construction that was going on next door that they were taking 10 years to finish?
It's so funny. So nothing has happened at the Brothers Produce place where we did shoot our reality show there.
I saw that. It looks sweet too.
It comes out Wednesday, May 18th. So please check it out. It's gonna be really cool. But so yeah, they've no progress there. They are doing stuff out front on our spike ball court, and they've got these giant poles in the middle of it. But of course, you know, they put the stuff up and then they only do like one thing every 4 to 5 months. So like they knock down the wall and they put up the things and then they're gone. So it is the most incredible construction, no show job in history. Cause literally since we've been here, Kyle, they made basically no progress.
They are the worst.
Not good. Not good. Would not hire them. So yeah, but the new place is great. We just, you can be comfortable in regular clothes. All right. Question from Mark Vettel. Would you rather fight 100 Mothman-sized Mountaineers or 100 Mountaineer-sized Mothmen?
I don't even know what a Mountaineer is. Is it someone who climbs mountains or is there something else?
Well, it's like a...
like a mountain man.
Like a wilderness person.
Someone who climbs mountains.
A trapper.
But they were, they were burly people, obviously not the size of Mothman, but man,
I think
think it's easy?
Yeah, but I want you to answer first.
The size of 100 Mountaineer sized Mothman people.
And what is a Mothman? I don't even know this.
Oh my gosh, Ben.
Yes, you do.
I've heard of the Mothman Prophecies. That's a movie or something, but I don't actually know what a Mothman is.
Fantastic movie. Set in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Mothman was a creature probably 8-9 feet tall.
Oh, shoot.
But it had red eyes and wings, and it's supposedly a bad omen. So it first became a thing, started appearing like a month before the Silver Bridge unfortunately collapsed in Point Pleasant, and unfortunately a lot of people died, but no one saw it in Point Pleasant after the bridge collapsed. And then supposedly Mothman has been seen in other places before, like big tragedies. So he's like kind of like a bad omen type thing.
So he's the bad omen.
He's an 8-9 feet tall creature, red eyes, wings, can fly really fast. But he originated in Plain Pleasant, West Virginia. I think you got to go with the Mountaineers that are Mothman size because I'm not fighting 100 Mothmen.
That's exactly what I thought. 100 Mothmen. If it's real, you don't want to fight 100 of them. They've got supernatural powers.
You ain't winning. Yeah, you're not winning that.
You're not winning that fight. Just take your chances with the giant. giant mountaineer types. Okay. What was your favorite moment from year one at West Virginia?
Favorite moment, it had to be when Peyton won in the blood round at NCAAs. He lost in the blood round the year before as a true freshman. and so just to see him break through and get that done, and being from West Virginia and you know, growing up just a little bit away from Morgantown is really cool. And I've actually had a lot of success with West Virginia wrestlers here at WU. So that was definitely the coolest part.
What about his exchange that went viral with DJ Hamidi? That was insane. And I didn't see that live. I didn't see it till I think you probably tweeted it from the West Virginia account.
Dude, while it was happening, I was like, this is going to blow up. Like, I'm like filming it. I'm like, this is going to blow up. Like, please score Peyton.
Yeah.
And that match was crazy. Those two are a lot of fun. And as young as they are, they both still have 3 years left. He's another one that is just a freak, Peyton. Like, stuff he can do with like his knees and like his feel for scrambling. He's a freak.
You gave Keegan some tough moments there. Those were definitely competitive matches. Very fun ones.
Yep. He's good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try to pit you two against each other. I'll just leave it at that. Green Bay Packers draft thoughts and help AR-12 out.
It was solid. Because they had two first-round picks and two second-round picks, I would have loved to see them be aggressive and trade up and try to get one of the really good receivers. I think they said the price was too high. They didn't want to do that. So I'm actually fine with them staying put and making the two picks they did, because if you take a wide receiver in the first round after the six, like ones you had a first round grade on, you're reaching at that point. So they got better in the defensive front seven, which is definitely where they needed help. And then they got a wide receiver. They traded up in the second round and got one. So I'm actually okay with it. I'd still like us to see us go get a veteran wide receiver. Like Julio Jones is still available. Jarvis Landry is still available. Even Odell Beckham seemed like he figured things out with Stafford there at the end of the year. So still like us to do that at some point. But actually, I thought the draft was pretty solid. Outside of the Jordan Love pick and the third round pick of a tight end fullback hybrid that everyone didn't even have on their board as like a draftable player that we took in the third round. Like, the GM has had pretty solid drafts, but like the Jordan Love pick is just inexcusable at this point when Aaron has put the two MVP seasons back to back after that. Like, you just wasted a first round pick. Wasted it. He's terrible.
Got it. Okay. So
Rant done.
All right. Hey, we all heard about Ismael Barrero absconding, defecting from Cuba. If he trains and competes in Greco in the U.S., what is his KBDR, the Kyle Brackey danger rating?
I mean, he's bombing dudes, right? Like, it's got to be over a 10. 13. I'll say 13.
That's high because – you know, Greco is definitely, I would say, probably more dangerous than freestyle. And you get an elite guy that does what he does. It's very dangerous. Now, Mihan Lopez has to be the most dangerous wrestler of all time.
Oh, my gosh.
They broke the mold. Yeah, a lot. One.
Yeah. Man, he might be, like, the first, like, 20.
Man, I hope he comes back one more time. That would be just amazing.
Heck, yeah.
He's ageless. I mean, you know what? Yoel Romero, that guy doesn't age. Doesn't age at all. The Cubans. Holy cow. All right. Keep it moving. Maybe we'll do a wrestling topic. I don't know. Probably not. At some point. That would be fun. If Dagestan was its own country, how good would they and Russia without them be against the rest of the world?
I think, I don't want to say 90%, but a high percent of the Russians are from Dagestan, and then ones that wrestle in other countries are also from Dagestan. There's the other, Ossetia, there's the other republic that has a lot also, so I think maybe if you did Ossetia and then Dagestan, like, as separate countries, then I think Russia would not be very good, correct?
So looking at the medal table...
Where are you at?
I'm on Wikipedia. You know you're getting the best information. Of their only five are from Dagestan of their number ones for their 2021 Russian National Freestyle Championships. But Dagestan was, they had 17 medals. North Ossetia had 10. Crimea had 2. And then it's like 1, 1, 2. Just a couple different ones. So pretty light. But yeah, the Dagestan flag here, if you look at it, the green, blue, and red flag, there's a lot of them, but like
a lot of them like celebrate with that flag over the Russian flag a lot, right?
Yes, 100%. They're kind of like, it's very, very different. So Nifonov, Sitikov, and Kozriev, who are number ones for them, are all from Ossetia. So they would be good. They would be definitely one of the best nations in the world for sure. But
they might be maybe the best, right? Because, I mean, Yugayev, Magomedov, and Rashidov would be world champ.
Mm-hmm. And then
Zamolov would be
This doesn't even have Sajulayev on there, but he would obviously be the number one for 97.
Yep.
And then you look at the depth. So, like, they didn't win 74, 79, or 86, but right behind them you have Zamolov, who is a known beast, Usmanov, and then Karugliev, who's really, really good as well. So they've got a lot of guys. I would say they have a good chance to win Worlds.
Where's Spey at when we need him? Do Dagestan and North Ossetia / Alania, do they like each other? Because if not, that would be like a heated, like, Iowa-Oklahoma State dual meet every year. Flo should set that up.
I don't think it's, like, super tense there, but I'm not sure. I think that Ossetia is, like, different religiously than Dagestan, which is, you know, Muslim majority. So I'm not sure. But the funny thing is, Spey would definitely know the answer to that question.
For sure he would.
It is,
but that'd be a fun duel meet because you look at, you know, look how many Dagestan won 17. They'd probably be the huge favorite. Ossetia won 10, but then the next one after that is 2.
Yes.
Well, no, sorry, there's a 3, but they have 0 gold for Baradia. Who the hell that is?
Someone is in here and says, "Look me up on Track Wrestling." That's one of the. That's the. What would you have replied in your heyday to a chat like that, Racky?
I probably would have looked him up and then been like, "Hey, what happened at this tournament?" Like,
probably a child. Okay. Next question. Let's look here. Oh, actually, not a question. Final X match order and schedule was released. If you haven't seen that, it's on the site right now. The USA Wrestling put it out. They're doing it a little differently, sort of similar to how it's been done in the past. So there's only 2 Final X sites. So that means there's a lot of contested weights at both sites. So what they're doing, they're starting session 1 at 2, which they'll do all of round 1. So all 15 matches of round 1. And then it'll be like a 2.5-hour break. And then around 7 or 6, depending on which site, they'll start the second round. And then they'll wrestle through that. And if there's a third round for some instances, they'll run that straight into it. There won't be any break. So
it's all 15 on one mat?
Yes. Praise be. Okay. So,
praise be. Nah, I'd do it different. I don't work for Flo, so I can't get in trouble.
Well, that's not what most people think,
I throw some
Ben.
Of those damn matches in the back room. I said, listen, this is going to be a boring match. Go to the back room and wrestle it, and we'll just post the result. Let's do it.
Funny thing about Ben saying he doesn't work for Flo is that everyone thinks you do, and so...
Well, that's why I put out there. I don't.
It doesn't help,
I'm
though.
I'm an independent contractor.
It doesn't help.
I don't.
He does it while he's on Flo Wrestling Radio Live and with the Flo Wrestling Radio Live TV behind him.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm independent contractor. My thoughts are my own. They do not reflect the actions of Flow Wrestling LLC or Incorporated, whatever the hell you guys are.
I don't know.
And listen, if I was in charge, man, some feelings might get their feelings hurt. You're boring. Go to the back room. We'll post the result. Everyone's happier because it's only like, you know, probably 8 to 10 matches is probably the perfect length right there.
Yeah. We'll probably be in the 30 to 35 range.
Per session.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Another very pressing question. I need what does your book have the current price of Bitcoin at, Bracky?
Oh, it's not. Yeah. Let me check this real quick.
Don't bring it up. I'm poor.
We were at $4.20, and that's down from $6.90 earlier this morning.
Wow. Big shift. Big shift. It's not been quite the Bitcoin party it was when you were on the show.
Not like last year.
Get me started on Doge. Ollie's in trouble.
Ollie. He really. He's doing okay though. Ollie's doing okay.
Okay, good.
Okay. Keeping it moving. See if there's any other questions before we go. Okay. He wants to start Adam Rush wants to start a new segment called Would Folk Style Ben Pin Them? I'll start.
No, let's not do that. I saw this. I don't need to. Yeah, I pin a lot of people.
Could you pin Will Smith? Well, it sounds like you're avoiding the question if you could pin Will Smith. And I think you can't.
Obviously.
He would shake your hand, punch your face, and say, welcome to Earth.
He doesn't punch. He slaps.
He might slap, but he might punch you like he punched the alien in the face.
Semi-legal in wrestling, a little bit. If you don't wind up, you take it right there. We're good. I actually like Carl Fraunhofer's post. Can we talk about this?
Let's do it. Carl Fraunhofer had a good little tweet string here. I will just read it quickly. Okay. High school wrestlers have a 1% chance of making it to a D1 roster. Considerably lower chance of earning a scholarship. Parents investing a ton of money into the sport with hopes of financial ROI are almost certainly making a terrible decision. Parents investing a ton of money and time into the sport, having a blast traveling the country, spending time with their kids one sweaty gym at a time while their son or daughter learns some life lessons, stay in shape, and out of trouble. In my opinion, couldn't make a better investment. With that in mind, someone has to be in that 1%. But I can almost guarantee that dream and desire has to burn inside the individual in the arena.
I love it all. I think this is great because the first one leads you to think like, what's he talking about? You know, like where's he going with this? And then he follows up and kills it. Because I said, you know, a lot of people ask me like, would I ever open an MMA gym? And it's like, nah, I just want to coach wrestling. And one of my biggest things is because wrestling parents know exactly what they're getting out of it. Right. I spent a lot of time in MMA gyms because I was training. When I was in the MMA gym, there's so many parents will bring their kids in and they think they're going to be the next big superstar. And it's such ridiculous expectations of what's going to happen. And they'll say crazy, crazy stuff. With wrestling, at least the parents I deal with, and I we've been open 11 years. I deal with a lot of parents. They're under the understanding, they're bringing a kid in. They're going to learn some good life lessons. They're going to learn how to work hard. They're going to learn how to persevere. They're going to learn these things, and if they get lucky and they do really well, maybe they go to college and wrestle at the next level, but definitely not guaranteed. And so, I think the high majority, and I would say in my experience here, almost all of the parents, they know what they're getting out of it, right? They're putting their kid in there to do what was on Carl's second tweet, and if they get lucky, and you know, we've had some, or I guess quite a few get lucky and go to the next level and maybe earn some scholarship money. But you think it's different? I mean, what are the 512 outlaws? You go to a wrestling club. Does every parent think their kid's getting a college scholarship?
No, I don't think so. I think most it's just an activity. A lot of them, it's an activity to get their kid involved with. Some of them, I do think there are some that think their kids are going to be really, really good. But yeah, I know that's what it is for me. I mean, I was like, I had kind of said from the onset, I was like, yeah, my kids will wrestle. I don't have any like attachment to like success or anything beyond that other than I know how it's going to help them in the future. And I think it is, that's obviously how I'm looking at it. I know knowing the sport well is to know how incredibly difficult it would be for anyone to make it to that level.
And so I think also too, if you have that, I don't even know what I would call that mentality or mindset. So, I mean, maybe some type of entitlement a little bit, you know, that my kid's going to do this or that. It's like, I feel like you would do other sports. Like, wrestling is a terrible sport. If you're a football quarterback, you could go make $100 million, right? There's much bigger dreams. If you're an MMA fighter, you could be world famous. A wrestler, like, a college scholarship pales in comparison to those things, right? So if you're the type of parent who wants to live off their kid's success or, you know, have those really, obviously, unrealistic, lofty dreams, you're probably going to have them in a different sport.
Hayden Brackey's like two or three now. Has he started his training?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every camp I can get him into, we're going to.
For quarterbacking?
No, for wrestling. We're already reaching out to college coaches and Simmons.
I heard he was on a top 30 pounders to watch. I saw that.
Ozzie
Man's taking him out.
That was BS because he beat two of those guys ranked ahead of him.
He was sick that day.
Yeah, he was sick that day. And the list was biased. Let's be honest. You know how it is. You know how people are out to
politics.
Get your
politics.
Yeah, politics. Coach's kid. Yeah,
that's funny. Dude, Aussie man versus, you know what? I don't know much about either of your children, but I don't think anyone wants to fight Aussie Man Strongboy. He seems like he's just out the gate ready to sling.
yesterday I had to take him and Max's son Luca to the academy. They were getting babysat there while I was running the first practice. And in one of the rooms, when we got there, there was a private lesson going on, and the other room was his babysitter hanging out. They got there before me, you know? And so I'm like, hey, Ozzy, this is your babysitter, blah, blah, blah. And he like keeps trying to go back to the other room where there's, you know, I think it's like six kids doing a small group private lesson with one of the coaches. And I'm like, Ozzy, your babysitter's over here. And then he goes, but there's no one for me to battle with in this room. And they ran into the room and like started trying to punch like the eighth graders. I'm like, no, stop distracting them. Your babysitter's over here. And he's like, there's no one to battle with.
That he says there's no one to battle with. That's wow. Bright future. Kyle, before we go, anything else? Any other thoughts? Any other West Virginia things? Anything you want to get off your chest? You've been, I won't say muzzled, but you haven't had this opportunity in quite a while.
No, I mean, I do have an alien hour if you guys want it.
Let's go.
All right. So this one does take place in West Virginia. It's funny. I kind of learned about it recently, but it seems like it's pretty popular and was actually just on a History Channel show, just like one of those mystery shows. But so going back to Christmas Eve, 1945, going back a long way.
Wow.
Fayetteville, West Virginia, it's a couple hours south of Morgantown, but family, and you know, families back then were really big. They had nine kids, and they go to sleep on Christmas Eve. And at one point in the middle of the night, the phone's ringing. The mom goes downstairs, answers it. It was a wrong number. She goes back to sleep. Later in the night, she hears something like almost like hit the side of the house, and it sounds like it's rolling off the roof of the house. She's like, that's weird. She listens for a few more minutes, doesn't hear anything, goes back to sleep. Then about 45 minutes or so later, she smells smoke and like there's clearly a fire going on. So she wakes her husband up. They get all the kids that are on their level out, which there were four there. But then there were another five kids on the next level of the house. Like the stairs to get up there was completely on fire. Like there was no way to get up to them. So dad runs outside and he has a ladder that he's going to try to put up and get up there to the kid and, you know, pull him out. Well, he goes to where his ladder usually is. It's not there.
Uh-oh.
And Yeah. So then he's like trying to think of something. He's like, I'll pull the car around, try to like get on top of the car and like climb up. The car won't start. He can't get the car started. And so while that's going on, someone else is trying to run and call, or they were on the first floor because the first floor wasn't like on fire yet. So they try to call someone for help. Phone's not working. So then someone runs to neighbors, try to call neighbors. Long story short, house completely burns down in about 45 minutes. But they just think that the kids died in the fire. But when they start going through everything, there are no skeletons, no bones, no anything that resembles that they were in the house. Yeah, pretty weird. Uh-oh. But like stuff like appliances, stuff like that weren't completely destroyed. So it's not like they were just turned into ash or anything. And the family, like in the days leading up after the fire, like reached out to a local funeral home and was like, hey, when you cremate someone, like, is there things left? And they're like, yeah, there's always like bits of like bone, stuff like that. And our fires are much for 2 hours and at a much hotter rate than that fire would have been for 45 minutes. So there's just like no possible way that
there'd be no remains.
There would be nothing of them left. Yeah. So they originally rule that this is caused from an electrical fire. Well, a couple things that just kind of don't make sense with that. Like if this was an electrical fire, why would the power still be on like while the fire was burning? Because when they were leaving the house, like, their Christmas lights were still on and like lights were on still in the first floor. And like you'd think if it was an electrical fire, the power would be completely out. Also, when they start like just searching the area, like looking for the kids, because there's clearly no sign of them, they find the ladder like thrown into this embankment. Like, so someone clearly like hid this ladder. And with the car, they actually think they, like, in the hurry of trying to, like, start it, I think they just flooded the engine because they couldn't really find anything wrong with the car. And that was just kind of ended up happening. But the town's quick to rule this just an accident and say that the kids must have been in the debris. But the parents, you know, very much convinced this
something else
could not have happened. Yeah, something else happened. So it turns out that this family had come from Italy. They're immigrants from Italy. And at that time, the dad was very outspoken against Mussolini. Like, said he's a very bad person and wasn't okay with what he was doing in Italy. Well, a couple of weeks before the fire happened, he was visited. You know, back then, they used to sell stuff going door to door. So a life insurance person had come to him, and they were talking, and they both realize they're from Italy, and they start talking about Mussolini, and the dad of the guy that lived in the house that got burned down was just very much like, he's a terrible person, I don't condone anything he's doing, and the guy gets all pissed off at him, and they end up getting like a verbal argument, and he's like, you're gonna pay for all these things you said about Mussolini.
Whoa.
Like, you're gonna pay.
Oh boy.
And so a lot of people think that he is involved, and it's kind of interesting that the coroner, when they kind of were making the ruling whether this was an accident, what it was, they put together a jury of people to help decide that. And that insurance guy was on the jury that said it was an accident. It was an accidental fire.
Oh boy.
And there were a couple like reportings of seeing the children like in towns surrounding the area within the next few days. They just didn't know that they were missing at the time. Like, they heard about it later and were like, I saw those kids. Like, they were with a man and a woman with a Florida license plate. And then, so for as long as the mom and dad lived, they freaking hunted for these kids. Like, they were traveling all over the country looking for leads, all this stuff. And it's just become, and they put up this huge billboard on Route 16 in Fayetteville. It's massive, with all five of the kids' pictures on it and like paragraph long of what they think happened, and like including like thinking police are in on this because they're so quick to rule an arson and they won't investigate anyway. The FBI and even offered to get involved and the local police force told him, no, we don't need your help. This was an accident. Classic. Like, why are you so willing to shut them out right away? Yeah. I don't know the motive here. And if it really is like the mob, like, was so mad about this, like what he was saying about Mussolini at the time, or what it was, but I don't know. Something just doesn't add up. And so, like, this billboard was up in Fayetteville for almost 50 years. Finally, when the mother of the kid died in, like, 1989, the family ended up taking it down. But the oldest surviving sister, who was 2 at the time of the fire, she just died in 2021. But, like, said to her daughter, like, you have to keep this alive. Like, they are,
oh my gosh,
they survived. Like, I'm telling you, like, family is adamant that they survived. So it's just kind of like one of those weird things that just doesn't make any sense. It's kind of creepy. It's like, and the thing hitting that woke the mom up, the one time that hit the house and, like, rolled off, they think it was someone, like, trying to start the fire, like, with some kind of incendiary device or something. Like, it's pretty crazy. It's called the Sodder family.
Whoa, that is a crazy one.
What's that face you're making there?
Me?
Yeah. Is Christian researching it right now?
I don't know if you guys ever do this because you guys are also on this podcast. Sometimes I'll just forget. We talk too much. I'll forget about the podcast. I'll be over here, like, you know, making some weird face or doing something. Like, oh, damn, like, people maybe. But sometimes, you know, like, it's like it'll only be on Kyle, so they're not seeing us, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes it is on us. You know, like, oh, why am I making that funny face right now?
So what about what I was looking up was the guy you had brought up in FRLs way long ago, Cleveland's watchdog. Do you remember this guy? He would hunt down
remember this vaguely.
I think he might be the guy that could help. I want to get him on the case because he's just got a nose for justice.
What was his name again?
So another thing I just remember when you brought up the detective thing. So at one point in, like, the late 60s, they got an anonymous letter, and it was a picture, and it said that this was one of their sons. And it looked like him. Like, I mean, he was like 13 when he disappeared, so it would match up age-wise. Said the age, his name, where he was at. So the dad by this point was in pretty bad health, so he hired a private detective to go down to Kentucky and check and see if this was this dude, or investigate it a little bit. They never heard from the private detective again, and they couldn't track him down. It wasn't just like he took the money and run and didn't give him an answer. They literally couldn't find him again.
Jeez. This is shenanigans.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Not good.
Very sad story.
So if you know anything about the Sodder family disappearance, hit me up. Don't worry about that.
Racky will connect
the
dots.
They don't want anything to do with it. So hit me up.
Yeah, we don't want to give the family false hope. So we'll run all your requests through Bracky, and then he'll connect the dots. He's a dot connector. Well, that was that was a good one. Very good alien hour and an appreciated return. Kyle, anything else before we go?
I think that's it, man. I appreciate you guys having me back on. Let me defend Brittany's honor, freedom. Apparently, I'm the only freedom fighter still left out there. I mean, this is America, people.
It is America.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to watching the team next year. I'm looking forward to watching the Mountaineers.
We're excited, you know, just trying to get better every single year. I think this is, it's probably like 2005 or 2006. They've had 2 returning All-Americans in the same lineup, like Killian and Peyton, both be back next year.
Mm-hmm.
First time we had an All-American 3 straight years since 2005-2007. And I think the really cool thing was it was 3 different wrestlers that did it. Like, it wasn't just one, like, stud. Like, we had Noah, then Killian, then Peyton. So really excited about the direction the program's heading. We had Killian, a Big 12 champ this year. We've had 2 in the past 4 seasons, and the previous 8 before that there was 1, so, and Peyton was in the finals this year as well. So we're going in the right direction, man. I obviously would like to expedite it, but we're getting there.
Heck yeah, we'll keep going. We're rooting for you for sure, Bracky. Thanks so much for coming on. This has been fun. Fun week of shows at Shane yesterday, Bracky today, Alien Hours, Free Britney Movement, the whole shebang. We'll be back
Shane
next Tuesday.
Shane cracked me up with Bieber, by the way.
What the heck? He loves Bieber. He texted me and Ben after the show a screenshot of his, like, Bieber playlist.
No good. Man. No good, Shane. No good.
You can't have any pride if you don't have any shame. And he's got no shame. Shane Sparks. Thank you guys so much. Thank you to Shane. Thanks, Justin Bieber. And thanks especially to you for tuning in. We will see you next Tuesday. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Let's go, Mountaineers.
Let's go.